This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Good, good. Welcome to ENN. And while I do not have a sponsor for tonight's I have something better for the audience than a sponsor.
Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets.
Official?
To the
No, it's rumored.
Yeah. No. Here's your chance. What is?
Sorry.
Wow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you saying?
I do well.
Who are you talking
Hello?
To?
The amount of things going on there. Here's what I have, everyone. Top Rank Boxing is back. Lomachenko and Richard Comey this Saturday at the Garden. Just found out. I'm going, guys. I'm going.
All right. Wait. Lomachenko is fighting the ex-head of the FBI?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta tune in.
He saw some things in the Netflix movie or HBO. He was disgusted by it. And so Lomachenko said, bring on Comey. And that's what's happening. Also, undefeated heavyweight sensation Jared, the real big baby Anderson.
So it's not Glenn Davis.
No, the real. I said the real big
Sorry.
Baby.
Gotcha.
And the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, you get a pair of tickets. It's all brought to you by Top Rank Boxing. Tickets on sale now, MSG.com. If you've never been to a fight at the Garden. Oh,
thank you, Top Rank.
Thank you, Top Rank. I'm very, very excited to go. Let's start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
I miss Modell's.
Better than I would have thought. Let's say good evening to Don.
Possibly what we discussed 5 minutes ago when it came up in conversation here. But we can revisit it if you like.
So mean. So biting.
Really beautifully said, though. And good evening to myself. I mean, listen, you love Buck. You're getting emotional. He didn't get the offer yet. Calm down. Do we have the what was the drop yesterday that Andrew, when we were asking Andrew if it was horse poop, if he ate dog poop?
Oh, that's right. No, that, horse.
He said, no, just horse.
Just horse.
Per word spoken on the air, no one has better timing on this show than Andrew Gundling. How about that take, Don?
That's a nice take.
Per word used.
Yes.
Andrew's level of timing, the amount of times we call to him, and he just delivers, bam, with something perfect. I mean, do you hear how he says just horse?
There? Just horse.
It's fantastic. Well, you guys want to hear Terry Collins waxing poetic about Show Buckwalter?
Yeah.
Here's Terry on SNY talking about how Buck Showalter is perfect for the Mets job.
I think it's time to make an impact, and I think the impact is Buck Showalter. First of all, in today's game, there's so much data available, and there's so much data you have to look at, and nobody crosses the T's and dots the I's better than Buck Showalter. He's one of the most prepared guys I've ever been around. He is into it 100%. He's never going to vary. He's going to be ready when the game starts. He's going to have his decisions in that first inning ready to go when the situation shows up in the eighth inning.
I'll give you $5, Peter, a crisp $5 bill. You could tell me Buck Showalter's full real name.
Jabroni Pumpleduck. You always say his real
That's
name.
That's right. Yep, I do. You obviously don't listen, though.
Or remember. Because I don't remember. I'm sorry.
You don't remember either?
No.
That makes me feel better.
Holy crap.
Let me try here. Just let me finish first. Don't tell me till I'm done.
All right.
Don't tell me till the Wikipedia page comes up.
Yeah. See if he has good internet in his house.
Richard.
Good Wi-Fi.
Richard. Anuel. Ortega. Steven. Sondheim. Showalter.
Close. William Nathaniel Showalter III.
The third. Wow. You know what? If he wasn't like, he really went with a nickname to that would, like, you know, dirty up his fancy name that he has.
His name was Bill Showalter in the minors till he got the nickname.
How'd he get the nickname?
He used to always he'd be always working out, and he was constantly showering, so he's always walking around the locker room without clothes on. So they called him Buck Naked.
Wow, he probably doesn't want you to tell that version anymore. Now, if you missed our conversation earlier,
you did too.
We were talking about a report has come out. What's the name of the gentleman who reported
Pat
this?
Pat Ragazzo of SI.
Yeah, and you know when Ragazzo says it, take it to the bank. Ragazzo says that Max Scherzer is supposedly lobbying for Buck to be the manager. So we were speculating on how it is that Max Scherzer would have come to have strong feelings on Showalter. Let's go back in time earlier in the program.
I don't think there was ever a time where they crossed paths.
The only thing I can think of, Michael, is that they were both in the same market for four seasons. When he was pitching with the Nationals and Buck was in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Could there have been a relationship there? Could there have been some crossover? Did he, you know, hear a lot about him because they were both kind of in the same market?
5 minutes later. Michael, one question?
Yeah, babe.
Possible that in addition to what you said about the management connections, that just also by Scherzer being in Washington for so long and the period in which Buck was in Baltimore, there's like any baseball community crossover, sort of like the Mets and the Yankees, or no?
Possibly what we discussed 5 minutes ago when it came up in conversation here. But we can revisit it if you like.
No, we keep playing it, Don, and some people will laugh more. I get more concern. It's a cry. It's a cry for help.
Well, it's a cry to change the subject is what it was.
No. I actually prefer, as far as baseball topics go, I would rank Buck Showalter so much higher on my list of topics I'd prefer to discuss, especially relative to, like, you know, union demands and the ownership versus players association. I'll take Buck all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
I wonder if the baseball owners and the players association are somewhat concerned that no one gives a crap about this lockout. 4 days later, nobody cares. The news cycle is over. Now get it done. Nobody cares.
Yeah, you're right. It's not going to have the same effect it would have in past years, that's for sure. Now, we were just talking Buck Showalter.
They made that terrible signing. Well,
oh, no.
That tied up too much money.
Oh, no.
So the bottom line is, I can't talk anymore.
This is emotional.
It's really shame what we do. I mean, I had that guy.
Wait. How did it take us that long to hear it again, though, Don? When you choke on peanuts, we hear it back in 30 seconds. Michael must have been lobbying against this.
Did I say a word?
No, not a word.
It's one of the worst choke jobs we've ever heard on this show. One more time, Anthony, please.
They made that terrible signing. Well,
did you actually hear the walk?
That tied up too much money.
Oh, no.
So the bottom line is, I can't talk anymore.
This is emotional.
There was a gag in there.
There's a gag?
He said, what?
There's... And then there's a gag.
Dr. Zeitels was getting his scrubs ready again.
And then Don and I were simultaneously ad-libbing in the same way, you know, with our concern under our breath.
Yeah, a lot of concern.
Now, we were talking about Buck Showalter. Let's talk about Joe Buckwalter. Joe Buck was on the Manning Cast last night, and a lot of people are talking about this jab that he took at Peyton Manning.
Joe, when y'all have a blowout game, do you ever wish you could have a guest on there that you and Troy could interview?
Yeah, you know, the last time I thought about that was when you guys played Seattle at the Super Bowl.
Ooh, shots. Shots fired. Yes. You just went up a notch in my book, Joe.
Wow.
I get it. Trying to get on Eli's good list, trying to get my mom to send you a Christmas card. After all the abuse you've given Eli, I get it.
So, by the way, I really love, like, Eli's, like, I can't describe Eli's personality. Like, it's not quite awkward. He's cool and comfortable, but he just has, like, this deadpan approach. I loved his shots fired there. That was, now, a little bit of insight. Saw this going around on Twitter. Could this obvious diss from Joe Buck be a response to Peyton on the Manning Cast back in late September, Dallas, Philly? Let's listen to something Peyton Manning said.
You see, I don't like that. I don't like having a co-host that knows as much as I do about coverage. I need a co-host that knows nothing about defensive coverage, like Joe Buck, right? I mean, Troy doesn't make mistakes very often, but when he does, Joe doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to coverage. So,
wow.
So there you have it with Michael. Any doubt that that is what they call in the wrestling business a receipt from Joe Buck?
Could be. Joe doesn't forget. It's amazing to me. Joe is so comfortable when he's not like the lead guy. He said something else yesterday, too. I was shocked. Like, his wife, who works for ESPN, was in Buffalo. And so she was doing, like, she did a feature on Buffalo Shuffle, whatever, and they have her on field. She's obviously cold. And, you know, Buck, in a total flex, was doing that spot yesterday from Cabo, his house in Cabo. And Peyton goes, is it going to be a problem? You know, you're in Cabo and your wife is freezing in Buffalo. He goes, I really couldn't care what my wife thinks.
Wow. Now, well, can I ask you a question, by the way? Sorry.
Yeah.
Remind me, what does – she's on ESPN?
Yes. Michelle Beisner, Buck.
Michelle Beisner, Buck. How do I, like, not know her that well? I would – like, it's so random. Like, Don, are you familiar with – can you picture Buck's wife?
No. I cannot.
She does SportsCenter? Like, she's a reporter?
She does report, yeah.
Just like reports for ESPN News?
And then Peyton said another thing to Buck where he said something like, there was a TV timeout close to the end of the game. He says, do you hate TV timeouts as much as I do, Joe? Joe goes, no, I have a home in Cabo that I'm sitting in because of TV timeouts, Peyton. Joe Buck has the timing of a comedian. He's really fast. He's
very good.
Really quick.
Wow. He was good in Brockmeyer.
Yes, he was.
No, he's definitely good. But I don't know if Peyton was knocking him during the Dallas-Philly game. He was just saying your play-by-play guy is not supposed to be an expert on coverage. That's what you have your analyst for.
No, that was a diss, though.
No.
That was a diss. It was a diss.
He was
intentionally... I mean, it was clunky saying he doesn't know anything about coverage.
Oh, no, no. Don, I'm telling you, that I know sending shots, believe me. That was a it may have been joking, but it was definitely intentional.
But why would
you
be
eating salad, you fat little jerk?
Why would your play-by-play guy know coverages? That's what your analyst is for. So him
exactly.
Not...
So why even bring it up unless you're taking a shot? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what.
Maybe we have to have Joe on
in.
To talk about this.
Well, let's get him.
Let's do it.
Now that could be a good guest for tomorrow.
You hear that, Andrew?
Well, tomorrow's a big
Andrew.
Day.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah, and he's just the big enough guest to get it done.
Yeah, just to, you know, right. Run right through the finish line.
That's the beast mode move at the goal line.
I'm not going to say anything unless I get it, but I'm attempting to work on a guest to make up for what happened earlier.
What? Yeah. Well, unless you get us available. Michael Jordan, you can't make up for what happened earlier.
No, but I think it could surprise you enough that it would go a long way.
Should I get Buck Showalter tomorrow? Or you think he's going to, you know,
he's not going to
lie low.
He's lying low.
I think he's
going
to.
Hey, Michael, I'm going to lie low.
Just horse.
Andrew, can you try to get Joe Buck? Can you do that for
a
brother? Okay, good.
Certainly try, yeah.
Little Buck. Little Joe Buck.
If we got Buck and Buck?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, heaven.
Wow.
What other bucks can we get?
Can we give away $100?
If we get them, I need you, Anthony, to get the song Throw Your Guns by Onyx so we can play Throw Your Guns in the Air and Buck like you just don't care.
That's almost like Bang Bang or Bing Bong.
Bang Bang!
Bing Bong! Boy, did Bing Bong just fizzle out as the Knicks fizzled out?
Just as
It's not culturally fizzling out. It's just fizzling out with regard to the Knicks.
Well, once Breen started using it, that's when it went downhill.
Wait, Breen said it?
Yes.
Oh, Breen said it on a shot. Yeah. Bing bong.
Bing bong.
All right. We have not mentioned this somehow all day, but yesterday after the tough loss for Buffalo and me, my 3-point pick.
Oh, too bad.
Their defense was in the press room, and Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde had this awkward exchange with a reporter. They were asked if the loss was embarrassing with the way that New England decided to play it with only throwing the ball three times.
Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind of
question? What are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's going to be criticizing you.
All right. I think we keep 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. We'll remember that. I'll remember that.
You know, this loss, yeah, it sucks. It's a good football team that we lost to today, and you know, we'll figure out a way to bounce back. Thanks.
This goes in this respect. It's all about respect. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that.
Now, there's, first of all, I know the guy who asked the question, Jerry Sullivan. He's a great guy. He's been up there forever. He's a really good writer and a good guy. Loves his family. And
does he love his pets?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. The media and the subject, whether it's in politics or in sports, they're never going to get along. The media is trying to get you to say something that you don't want to say. They're trying to get you to uncover something that you want covered up. So that's why politicians hate writers. That's why athletes hate writers. So the fact that they're going head-to-head against each other and the athletes don't like the question, it's gone on for all time, except way back in the old days when Babe Ruth was writing Trading Naked and none of the writers wrote it because they were all in it together. It's not the way it is anymore. The adversaries. Adversaries don't get along.
Now, hold on, though. Let's be fair. And I'm not saying he's not a good guy who doesn't love his
family. He's a very good writer, too.
And his pets, and he's not a good writer.
He is a good writer.
However, he's not saying he's not a good writer.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's clunky to use the word embarrassed in that spot. I see how they would be, especially if they're being truthful in what they say, and you could tell that they weren't jerks. Even through that, while they were angry, they still then tried to give an answer. So you could tell these aren't like bad guys who are just like freaking out. I think we all know how hard football players take losses like that. And I know for a fact that Micah Hyde and Poyer love their families. In fact, if you look up Poyer's Instagram, you'll also love his family because his girlfriend is something. But
like golf level?
Nobody's at golf level.
Saw it last night.
No one is at golf level.
I'm telling you.
Poyer's the fact that he hadn't won didn't even matter.
I'm telling you, Poyer's at golf levels. But
no, he's not.
I'm telling you, he is.
I've seen what you're talking about.
All right,
about.
Well, everyone has personal preference, man. But
well,
I'm telling
take
you.
Take a walk, okay?
They're all. I got news for you. Everyone's eating in the same restaurant in the same section, okay? And guess what? We ain't there. They're off there by themselves. And you know where we are? Me, you, Don, and Dick are just talking about old Yankee stories in the corner. Anyways.
Like flush it.
I just feel like, can
I tell you this, Peter? Hmm. As a writer, even when I was doing the pre- and post-game for MSG, I asked the embarrassed question. You ask it. You're trying to get an answer. Yeah, I was embarrassed. People have asked that question before, and it's been answered.
Well, you're technically right, because history is not going to look kindly on Buffalo's defense that they lost the game in which the opposing quarterback threw the ball three times. So embarrassing is logical, but right after a game on national television, he probably should use the word frustrating if you really want to get a more accurate answer. So you can understand them being defensive. I get where he's coming from. I get where they're coming from. But as a veteran reporter, you should know embarrassing is probably going to get them aggravated and irritated, and you're probably not going to get a decent enough response.
Our good buddy Gary Myers used to cover football for the Daily News, now writes books.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted out that he was at an Indianapolis Colts game where the Colts lost, and a couple of players said that they were embarrassed. And Gary asked Peyton Manning, "Are you embarrassed?" And Peyton Manning looked like his head was going to explode. He got so angry at Gary. Sometimes you're going to get angry. You got to ask the question, especially if somebody else said they were embarrassed about it. So he asked Peyton, "Are you embarrassed?" And you're right. It's a terrible thing to admit that you're embarrassed with your performance, but I don't think it's a terribly unfair question.
But it's so like subjective. Why would they be embarrassed?
Because they knew what was coming and they couldn't stop it. That's embarrassing. They couldn't stop the run. There was no threat of the pass. That would lean toward being embarrassing.
I mean, okay, but that's just a lot of your own opinion loaded into the question. I don't know that you have to.
The guy's a columnist.
Yeah, but that's why. But what I'm saying is you're defending what the job is. What I'm saying is does the job have to be that way? Where immediately after a loss, what you're trying to get is them to sort of break down. Listen, or say something. All you have to do is give them the stats and say, how do you feel about
it? In a perfect world, should athletes be forced to answer questions after coming off the field of battle and being exhausted and just completely obliterated emotionally? Well, but that's the way, that's the rules of the game.
But no, but this is an interesting conversation. What is our role in the media? Technically, our role in the media is to be able to ask questions so you can get answers to the fans' questions on, all right, how do they feel after losing that game? Because you're kind of curious, how would they feel about it? Now, if you want to take it to a next level where my job is to get a response that's going to sell papers, that is going to get clicks, well, then it's in the eye of the beholder. I think that maybe you're going a little too far if you're trying to irritate them and try to use them as puppets to get the response that you're looking for.
But maybe Jerry was planning to write a column that it was embarrassing that the Bills defense, which was number one ranked coming into the game, could not stop something they knew was coming. So rather than just write it out of his own mouth, he asked the players, are you embarrassed by this?
But, like, they took it. Well, they only gave up 14 points.
That's
but
the
that
thing.
One, that doesn't mean they did a good job defensively. No. They never got the ball.
Hold on. Why would they need to be embarrassed? In spite of the fact they gave up, 200 yards on the ground, and they knew it was coming, and they didn't stop it enough. They gave up 14 points, and their offense was in scoring position multiple times to win the game late. Can you really sit there and blame the defense?
But I can get the response that I need by just asking, how does it feel to lose a game when the quarterback only throws the ball three times?
You know what, Don? You make a great point. That's another way to ask it. That's less confrontational. You're absolutely
and,
right.
And you're not loading it with the word embarrassed.
Throwing embarrassed in, it seems like, you're trying to get a certain response. And I can understand players being like, listen, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to answer your questions because football is a popular sport and people want to know how we feel about it. But I'm not going to dance just because you ask me to dance. You throw the embarrassed out there because you're trying to get a certain type of response. And I can understand players getting aggravated by that.
Now, Alan Hahn, who hosts Bart and Hahn from 12 to 3 before our show every day, he just texted me. He said, I'm with you, Michael. It's a question that has to be asked. And he was a writer, obviously, with Newsday. You always ask that question when one team is physically manhandled by the other. That's exactly what happened last night. It's the right question to ask. It's not an opinion. It's a question to get their opinion. You never know what answer you're going to get. And as I said, the whole setup is adversarial. That's why athletes don't like reporters.
But knowing that going in, that it's adversarial, why throw more wood onto the fire to make it even worse? So I just think you can get a similar response, but at least being sensitive to the situation. I'm talking to a team that just lost. I'm talking to a team where the wound is still fresh. I want to be able to get the answer, not get something that's going to now create a bunch of clicks and get the response. Like, I do feel, I can understand where a player in that situation feel like he's kind of getting used there. You've now taken the, and it is a privilege to be able to be in that situation and ask a question, to now what you're trying to do is trying to fire me up and try to get a certain response that's going to benefit you, the reporter. The reporter is never supposed to make it about you. And Jerry made it about him by throwing embarrassing in. He now benefits from the response. He made something go viral. He put himself into that.
Well, how about this?
Yes.
I have a positive story from the Giants and Jets.
I can't imagine how you found it.
Holy crap.
Did somebody save a baby in a burning fire?
Actually, you're on the right path.
Okay.
A Steph Curry update, a big congratulations, and a big Mets birthday.
Wait, are you saying more ENN?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just what I was in the mood for.
Let's do it.
It's coming up next right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years, and ENN Plus continues.
People love the Plus, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's $4.99 a month.
Yeah. Congratulations are in order.
Okay.
Oh, don't get choked up.
I'm a little emotional about it.
No.
Well, yeah, not like Michael earlier. Do you remember what that sounded like, Don?
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Oh, no.
That tied up too much money.
Oh, no.
So the bottom line is I can't talk anymore.
This is emotional. ESPN's own Tim Kirkshin has been awarded a writer's highest honor. 5 decades as a baseball writer, analyst, and author. He'll be the recipient of the Baseball Writers Association of America's Career Excellence Award.
Hmm.
It's given annually, for baseball writing, and he will be recognized at the Hall of Fame ceremonies this summer. So congrats to the great Tim Kirkshin.
Is that the Ford Frick, Michael?
No, it's the former J.G. Taylor Spink, which they've kind of uncovered stuff about J.G. Taylor Spink. So
it's unfortunate, too, because that rolled off the tongue so nicely, the J.G. Taylor Spink
Award. Yeah,
but
the BBWAA Lifetime Achievement Award, that's not a mouthful.
You put that on a T-shirt.
Tim's the best.
Yeah.
And he's one of these guys that there's not anybody in this country that's a writer that's jealous of him getting this. He's a delightful person, loves his family, and has been a great writer and transitioned over to television and made a great transition. He's a tremendous guy and is well, well deserved.
He just sent me a note before we went on the air, Michael, and he said, just a quick update, I wanted you to tell Michael, I actually hate my family. Do you still support me getting in?
See, now you couldn't be more wrong on this guy.
That's what he said. I'm just quoting him.
Yeah. Tim Kirkshin, if you and three other people lined up in front of Tim Kirkshin,
yeah,
and they said, pick out Peter Rosenberg for $1 billion, he'd have a 1 in 4 chance of doing it.
Wow. So you don't think he supports your show is what you're saying?
I don't think he would have your number. Let's put it that way.
Oh. Well, that's just being nasty now. It was a joke at your expense, not his. But anyways. Anyways.
Fangs are out on that one.
Yeah, that was tough. Now, the little bit of good news that I said.
What in the world am I doing?
It's not good news for the Giants or Jets, per se, but players on each team. Safety Logan Ryan has been named the Giants nominee for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Yeah.
Well, somebody had to, right? Every team has a nominee.
Well, that's right. So any guess on who the Jets would be?
Just Horse.
That's right. It's Horse Johnson. No,
who is it?
Quinnen Williams.
Okay, good.
Will be the Jets nominee. So
those awards are really, really – players love those awards almost as much as playing awards because it really means that you've done something good. I know, Al Leiter and Ken Singleton won the Roberto Clemente Award for community service, and that's one of their most cherished possessions. And Eli had it behind him yesterday on the Manning cast. He won it as well. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that they're kind of doing a reverse of that award, Don, that they're going to be naming after Michael, the Michael K. Nozzle Award for each team. And each team in Major League Baseball gets to nominate just the worst guy in the locker room.
Boy, every sports team would have a hard time narrowing it down to one.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It'd be like the best picture in the Academy. They went from like 5 to 10. They'd have like 50 nominees.
You couldn't pick one out of 53 on a football team and 26 on a baseball team and 15 out of a basketball team. No way.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's year is over. He'll be getting season-ending hip surgery. Quite a job there. Now, listen, we can all be happy. Well, certainly I can be as a Washington football fan that things are looking up for Taylor Heinicke and this team. They're doing a great job with him, and he certainly at least has a spark that these guys believe in. But, guys, in terms of making an offseason acquisition, could it go much worse than it did? He played a quarter.
It went pretty well for Fitzpatrick. They got $10 million for a quarter.
I mean, and what do you do with him? I think, was it a 2-year deal?
No, just one.
It was one. So that's it.
Yep. This might be the last time he ever plays. He's 39.
Yeah. See ya! Well, that's not a nice way to go out. It was a hip.
I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
Subluxation in the second quarter of that opening loss to the Chargers. So it's officially Heineke time for the rest of the year. Steph Curry is going to go after greatness. Steph is now seven. Steph had seven threes in Monday's win over Orlando, which puts him at 2,958 career regular season threes. He's 16 away from passing Ray Allen's 2,973.
Holy crap.
So Curry, now, if he wants to go for it tomorrow night against the Blazers, if he wanted to try to hit 16 threes, he would not only become the all-time regular season three-point leader, but he would also break his own teammate Klay Thompson's all-time single-game record.
Wow!
But that would be lofty, trying to go for 16.
Nah, he's not that kind of player.
He left the. He said anything's possible when asked about it. He said, "I know what the situation is." Yeah. Then, yeah. Steve Kerr alluded to the same thing. So don't be shocked if he goes.
Well, I don't want to say selfish, but you know, if the game situation warrants it, I think he can do it. But I don't think he'll make it about himself.
Now, what if you're already like? What if you're also up 25 in the first half? Do you go out in the third and fourth quarter and just gun?
Well, that's not good either. That always gets frowned down upon when you insult the opposition. Would that be considered piling on?
Well, everyone knows what you're doing. I don't know.
Well, listen, you know I've said it before. You know, just entertain me. So if you don't like it,
I think you
stop
had clown
it.
At the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, usually
it.
You
well,
say
I
clown.
I don't want to call people clowns in this particular situation. I just think that if Portland doesn't like it, stop it. Defend it.
And you love Portland, right?
I love it.
Why?
I won't say.
Tyson Fury may have his eyes set on a new opponent. The WBC has finally ordered Tyson Fury to defend his title against Dillian Whyte, who has been the organization's number one contender, was for 1,000 days and didn't get a title shot.
He's been in the witness protection program. I've never heard of him.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Dillian
yes,
Whyte.
No, really?
Well, what's
yeah.
Fury's dad's name again?
Phil. Phil Fury.
I thought it was Fists of.
No, oh. Phil. Nickname was Fisto.
And lastly, happy birthday to one of the best ball players in the tri-state, Pete Alonso, the Mayo. Polar Bear, 27 years old today. Happy birthday, Pete. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, December 7th, Larry Bird's 65th birthday.
It's also Chris Carlin's birthday. We'll celebrate with him when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.